Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy.
As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy.
My friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as your word is opened this morning, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, to help us to grow, Father, in knowledge and in wisdom, the knowledge of your word and the wisdom to use it. Now, Father, be with Dennis this morning as he shares with us what you've laid on his heart. And be with us throughout the remainder of this service. And we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. You know, we are living in the last days of time. We don't know when it will happen, but we know that we are close, because as we study God's word, he gave us things to watch for. We've seen so many of them, it's already happened, taken place. We see some of them at work right now. And he told us that when we first seen them begin to look up, because our redemption was drawing nigh. And we are well into the days of sorrow. We all need to get right and get ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Because one day, we're going to see him on a cloud. He's going to call for his church to meet him there. And those that are ready will go and meet him there in the air to be with him forever. And those that are not ready is going to be left behind and go through some terrible, terrible things that right now they really can't even imagine. So let's all change our lives, strengthen our faith, walk upright. Get into a good church, a church that will teach the Bible the way it's wrote, not to make it say what they want it to say, but what the Lord has given us. And now, Father, we ask you once again to be with us throughout the remainder of this service. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Brother Dennis.
Good morning, everyone. And I want to welcome all the people, the new people that we got listening either by phone or by internet. Welcome, and I hope you come back and continue to praise God with us. Over the last couple of days, the pastor asked me, I think it was Thursday night, if I would talk this morning, and over the last couple of days, I've had some real issues trying to figure out what I wanted to talk about. So as I was watching, I couldn't sleep last night for some reason, so I turned the TV on and was just flipping through some channels, and generally late at night you see a lot of so-called Christian shows. And I was sitting there watching some of those, and that's where I got my inspiration from for this morning, because one of them, it was a lady preacher. And this person called God a she. Well, that didn't sit right with me, so I flipped the channel. And then there was another preacher on there telling me how God wanted me to be a millionaire. Click, flipped the channel again. There was another preacher on there telling me that all you got to do to make it into heaven is just be a good person. Click, another channel. This went on good portion of the night. So I'm sitting there thinking, you know, they're spreading nothing but lies. You know, the Word of God don't say any of that stuff. I think probably the last thing God wants you to be is rich. And I know he's not a she, because it says he, Father. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is instead of giving you a little bit of meat, so to speak, we're going to go back to the real basics. We're going to start off today with some milk, and it's going to be out of a bottle. We're going to go straight to the basics, the core of the subject, and see what we can learn out of it. Try to close up some of these false teachings that's apparently going rampant out there, and bring people back. That way we can start moving back up to a sippy cup and then go on to some soft food and then go back to the meat. And I'm going to try, in the grand scheme of things, try to do all that in one day. But we may have to make this in a couple of days. So first thing we're going to do is we always start off by reading scripture. And then we'll explain the scripture. And my explanation of this particular scripture is going to not only be of this scripture, but it's also going to encompass a little bit of the things that I just talked about as well. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to John chapter 1. I'll give you just a second to get there. Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, even to them that believeth on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we behold his glory and the glory only of only begotten of the Father, for full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And with this, we're going to stop and then start discussing it. All right. Let's go straight to the very beginning here. God. What is God? Who is God? To be real blunt about it, God is a spirit. He is the creator. He created each and everything, each and every one of us. God gives us everything. He gave us the universe. He gives you every breath that you take. Every moment of life you have is a gift from God. And then you have Jesus Christ, which right here is the Word. It says that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So now we know we have at least two people in the Godhead. We got God the Father, and we have Jesus Christ, God the Son. And then a little bit further on, we start talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is also part of God. Okay, so let's break this down a little bit so we can understand it because like I say, what I want to try to do is bring all this back to the basics. And then once we get past the basics and everybody understands that, then we can dig a little deeper into the stuff. If you was to take and imagine right here on the podium here, you had three jars, okay? You got in one jar, you got water, and in another jar, you've got ice, and then in another jar, which is going to be capped off, but it's going to have steam in it. And we'll consider each one of them being God, one of them being the Son, and one of them being the Holy Spirit. So in the grand scheme of things, they're all H2O. It's all H2O, so it's all God. Okay? You got God the Father, which is water. You got the ice, which is the Son. And then you got the Holy Spirit, which is the steam, okay? Jesus Christ came in the flesh, which is why I represented him, particularly as the ice, because it's hard, it's malleable. You can touch it, you can feel it. When Christ was on earth, you could touch him, you could feel him, okay? The water, which is H2O, but the other two is H2O as well, it helps you understand the everything, the ice and the steam is still water, so it's still God the Father, so to speak, okay? And then you have the Holy Spirit, which was the steam, which Jesus Christ sent back as the comforter to us, okay? That encompasses us, it surrounds us. It indwells in us. That's what speaks to us, okay? Whenever you pray or God sends a message to you or does something, everything goes from the Father to the Son to the Spirit. Us as human beings, God created us in God's image, okay? At the same time, we have three parts of us as well. We have the flesh, we have our soul, and then we have the spirit, okay? Spirit talks to spirit, okay? So the same thing works true with us as well. God the Father will talk to the Son, The Son must give the instructions to the Spirit. The Spirit talks to our spirit, translates to our soul, and then the soul, consciousness, whatever you want to call it, acts upon the flesh. Okay? And it works that way whenever you pray as well. It works in the opposite direction. Everything, because spirit talks to spirit. Okay? Your spirit is talking to God's spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit. And if you think of things working in that direction, then you'll understand a little bit better. Now, let's talk about the human part of this equation a little bit. Okay? Think of three circles or three hula hoops, okay, for example. Okay? In the grand scheme of things, whenever everything's done and then you're on your way to heaven, hopefully, you know, you want all three of these circles to be lined up pretty close, okay? When you're born, they're equally divided, okay? They're overlaying each other, but they're equally divided, okay? As we grow older and get a little more mature and the world starts infiltrating us and the devil, you know, when we hit our teenage years, unfortunately, our mind wanders to things they really shouldn't wander to. You know, that's just hormones in the world all hitting us all at one time. But it's true, you know. So the rings start pushing away, okay? The flesh starts moving in a little closer on this way, which kind of narrows the little bandwidth that you had that the spirit was in there, which is what God was talking to you. That's how the flesh kind of overwhelms you at this certain point in your life. And then as you start growing up, the circle starts pulling back away, and then the spirit part can talk to you a little bit more. But like I say, the spirit talks to the spirit, and the spirit talks to the soul, and the soul talks to the flesh to let you understand a little bit better. And as we grow away from God, because a lot of people do, I mean, it's blatant in the world right now, that little gap that the spirit talks to the soul is getting really, really small, okay? So to put it in a different aspect, let's say it was a microphone. Whenever you got that spirit that's getting pushed away a little bit, it's like it's holding off further. You can't hear it as well, okay? You got to get that fleshly part pushed back over so the room for the spirit is in there, okay? The soul is the mediator. That's and you know that the mediator is always there. I'm not going to lie to anybody. I was a terrible, terrible, terrible person before I got saved. Terrible. But even the worst things that I ever did, there was always that little thing back there in the back of my head going, you probably really shouldn't do that. You know, it was always there. I didn't listen to it, but it was always there, okay? And the worse I got, the further away that voice was, but I still heard the voice, okay? The spirit is always talking to you, telling you, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that. You know, it's almost like the cartoons where you got the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder. That was actually a real good representation of what I'm talking about. But as you grow closer to God, that spirit portion of those circles gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it means more to you. You understand more because the spirit is talking to you more. You actually can hear it now because now he's got a megaphone, you know. You don't even have to think that you're going to do something. The thought will pop into your mind because, we're carnal beings. I mean, the best person in the world, at some point, something's going to pop into their head, or you'd be watching TV and see something that you really shouldn't see, and then a bad thought pops in your head. You know, some good-looking woman be on there half-ass dressed, and you see what you see, and it's just a natural thought. And then all of a sudden you hear that megaphone going, probably don't need to be thinking those things. You know what I'm saying? So the spirit gets bigger as you grow along, okay? Another thing I want to say about the Holy Spirit, and some people are going to take offense to what I'm fixing to say, but it's the truth, and the truth is what sets you free, so to speak. A lot of people, you know, there's only one sin in the entire world that you can't be forgiven for, and that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, okay? I have heard, I can't count how many times, matter of fact, the pastor here has talked about it several times himself, but nobody really goes out and says what blasphemy truly is and what these churches, these fallen churches are doing, and they are straight up blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Anytime, blasphemy literally means denying. But you can't deny something if you don't believe it. But so let me preface what I'm going to say so you understand what I'm saying. You can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit in ignorance, okay? You have to know what you're doing to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, because it's literally, you have to know that you're doing it, okay? So the good news is if you've done what I'm fixing to say and you did it out of ignorance, that's a good thing. The bad news is I'm fixing to tell you what it is. So if you do it from this point on, you got an issue. Okay? So the Holy Spirit, and the Bible tells us this, grants us certain gifts. If you deny these gifts, if you deny what the Holy Spirit is doing, let's say healing. The pastors talked about healing. If you deny that the healing was done by the Holy Spirit and you sit there and physically watched it, but you deny that the Holy Spirit did that, that's a blasphemy. You're denying God. If, you know, the tongues, you hear a lot of them talk about tongues. Well, that's, you know, that did away with the apostles. That, you know, healing was done away with the apostles. All this stuff was done away with the apostles. It don't say that. In fact, it says that these things should be getting stronger as the church matures. So if you're denying the Holy Spirit, that's what you're doing. You're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And that is the one mortal sin. Okay? So what I have said many, 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 many times, pick up your Bible, read your Bible for yourself. Before you pick up your Bible, pray that the Holy Spirit will guide you through it, will give you understanding of what you're reading. And the one thing that I can tell you, you do not have to be a theologian to understand the Bible. Okay? I actually did some reading about theologians over the last couple of weeks, and I found out that a good 60% of the people that call themselves theologians, and this is by their own records, by their own say, okay, because they requested, this was a survey by a theological service college, and they took a survey, not of just their seminary, but of others as well. A good 60% are atheists. They're just straight up atheists. So don't take this just because they got a doctor in front of their name or, you know, a big fancy hoo-ah on TV or this, that, and the other, don't necessarily believe what they say. This Bible was written so you could understand it, not a theologian. It don't take a theologian to understand the Bible. I will grant you that the King James Bible, whenever I first started reading it, was a little rough. It truly was, just because of the way it's worded, not the words that's in it, just because it's in more of an old English tone than we speak in our modern vernacular. But I found that whenever I prayed before I started reading, the words, I'd never seen all those words like they come to you whenever you just pick up it and start reading and you see all the these and the thous. Whenever I started praying before I started reading, it made sense to me. Whenever I read, I don't know if a lot of people, other people do, I kind of go into that world. In other words, if I was reading a book about Huckleberry Finn, I'm right there with him. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I read. But so I get transformed into the setting of whatever it is that I'm reading, and I don't see all the these and the thous. I see them and understand them, but they're not making it hard for me to read whenever I do it. So we talked about what God is. We talked about the Holy Spirit. We talked about humans having the same Trinity because we were created after the image of God. Okay. Now, another thing that we need to understand is what salvation is. I mean, we need to understand who Jesus Christ is and what salvation is. Okay. And we need to understand that there is only one way to heaven. Contrary to what Oprah Winfrey says, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's it. Bar none, there is no other way. I don't care what Joel Osteen says. I don't care what Oprah Winfrey says. I don't care what anybody else says. This book right here says there's only one way to Jesus Christ, or to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people don't understand what salvation is and what being saved is, okay? In order to be saved, God knocks on your door, okay? You open that door. And I want to say this real quick, too, because I've heard this. Well, what about, you know, what about the people that aren't saved? What's going to happen to them? They're going to burn in hell. It's just that simple, you know. I mean, I hate to be that way, but it's just that way, you know. Well, what God's mean if he does that? No, he's not. He's just. He's a just God. Every person, I firmly believe this in my heart of hearts, every person that has ever lived from Adam to us right now has had that knock on the door. I firmly believe that. Every person. We know Abraham was saved. Christ wasn't even born. It was, you know, 1,000 years. Actually, 2,000 years before Christ. Okay? Abraham was saved. He was saved by faith. And that's what you're saved by. You're saved by faith. So every person from Adam to us has had the knock on the door. Whether you open the door or not, that's your business. Okay? But you've had the knock. I can promise you, now some people get that knock early in life. Some people may get that knock later in life. But every person that's ever been on this planet, to include Adolf Hitler and Pol Pot and, you know, all the bad people in the world, they still had that knock. They just didn't open the door. Okay? Everybody gets the knock. You open the door up. You're receiving. That's step one. Step two, you have to repent. You have to repent. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. You have to repent. After you repented of your sins, that means change. Stop doing them. Turn away. Go the other direction. Then you need to get down on your hands and knees and beg for forgiveness of those sins. So you have to repent. Then you have to ask for forgiveness. Then this is where the faith part comes in. You have to have faith, which faith means know. You have to know that Jesus Christ is going to intercede for you to help God the Father, and he's going to block out all the sins that you did from that point back, okay? Not that point forward, that point back. So then you've been forgiven of your sins. Okay. The next thing you need to do is to be baptized. And yes, you have to be baptized. Contrary to some of the teachings that people are saying out there, you have to be baptized. Okay? That don't mean somebody taking a sprinkle of water, dropping it on your head. That don't mean that it's a newborn sprinkling water on his head, christening. All that's done is put water on that baby's head. It did not save him. Okay. Contrary to popular belief, christening does nothing but wet the baby's head. They made the mother and father feel good about it, but that's about it. Okay? Once you're baptized, then you start working on your salvation. Okay? At some point, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It may happen then. It may happen 6 months down the road. It may happen 6 years down the road. Whenever you're ready for it, whenever you physically are ready for it, your body is ready for it, your mind is ready for it, your spirit is ready for it, then you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And trust me, you'll know it when it happens. Okay? And then you continue on your road to salvation. Okay? Your spirit, and this is a little bit iffy, what I'm fixing to say, I probably shouldn't even say it, but because your flesh and your soul are always butting heads, because the spirit's talking to the soul and your soul is transmitting all that information to your flesh, okay? Your soul gets a lot more dirty laundry than it does anything. So it's always butting with the flesh, okay? You need to always keep regenerating your soul, okay? In other words, what I'm trying to say is you need to get down on your hands and knees on a regular basis and ask for forgiveness. Not only ask for forgiveness, but to give thanks. Always keep regenerating your soul, okay? Your spirit is taken care of because, you know, it's separated from all the bad stuff, but your soul is always in there in that dirty laundry. You need to keep regenerating your soul. Okay. Always taking the word. Always asking for forgiveness because you never know what you did. I learned something new that I did every day, you know. So you always need to go in and ask for forgiveness because, you, like I say, you just never know what you did. And the thing is once you learn what you did, you need to stay away from it again. Okay? Now, we're not talking about your total, you know, going to hell part because you, for the most part, have been taken care of there. And another thing that's contrary to popular belief, once saved, always saved, the way they say it is a bunch of crap, okay? You're not totally saved. You cannot say you're saved until you pass over the great line. Because we still got that one thing here. We still got that mortal sin. And there's no coming back from that one. That one cannot be forgiven. So you're always working on your salvation. You can't say that you're saved until you're completely done. Then you can say you're saved. So in that aspect, once saved, always saved is true. But you always got to work on it daily. Work on your salvation daily. That's where you're getting down on your hands and knees, praying to God, asking for forgiveness of anything that you may have done today. Because like the Bible said, if you hate somebody, which in this world is not hard to do anymore, particularly whenever they're on you, I mean constantly, you get mad. I mean, even if it's for just a split second, that's a sin. So you got to back up and regroup every day. You know, that's just honestly, that's my biggest problem right now. It's my temper, my anger. I deal with some real winners at my job, I'm telling you, and they push me to the limit, and I get mad sometimes. So I have to back up, regroup, and one of the things that I'm praying for is patience, because I have very little of it. Yeah, I mean, I do. I have to do that on a regular basis. I pray for patience. Pray for understanding, you know. I mean, it's hard to understand some people, but, you know, I mean, that's just one of those things that you have to do. So, and I want to bring something up, something else that I've seen. Matter of fact, I've seen this morning on the way in. It was in the news. A Lutheran church in California. Matter of fact, it wasn't a Lutheran church. It was the Lutheran church because they voted this person in as their new bishop for, like, from San Francisco all the way up through Oregon, part of, all the way down to part of Nevada, the whole big circle right there, over like 200 churches. But they voted in a new bishop. Well, there's two problems with this bishop. Actually, there are multiple problems, but the first one is this woman. We already know the Bible don't take to that very kindly. Second problem is she's a lesbian. The third problem is she's trying to be a man, going through all that stuff. So, I mean, we got this. I mean, that hits all the major no-nos right off the bat. How is somebody that don't even know what they are, going to explain to you what God is? How is somebody that is committing sin going to tell you what sin is? I mean, it just blows my mind. And this is a bishop of over 200 churches, not just one, but over 200 churches. Think of all the crap that's coming out of them churches. I mean, honestly, that's just got to be straight up crap coming out of them churches. And that's just one. I'm sure, matter of fact, I know there is, that there's many practicing homosexuals behind the pulpit right now. And that is just dead wrong. They can be forgiven for being a homosexual, but they have to repent. That was the first thing that I said. You have to repent to go to heaven. That's part of your salvation plan. You have to repent. That's step one. They're not even, this person not only is not even repenting, they're rejoicing in it. They're rejoicing in it in the fact that they're changing their gender. They don't even call themselves, I mean, this girl or lesbian or whatever, she's not even calling herself a she or a he. She's calling herself a they and a them. I just don't understand it. I truly don't. It just shows you the state the world's truly in. The Bible says that in the end times, you'll have an apostate church. Brothers, I'm here to tell you, it's apostate. There's no way around it. You have to back up, truly, back up. Read what the Bible says. Understand what the Bible says. I don't care if you go out there and tell somebody that's a homosexual that they're doing wrong. You need to do that. You need to tell them that. Hey, you're going to hell. Just straight up. Hey, you're going to hell. Well, don't judge me. That's all you hear anymore. Don't judge me. I'm not judging you. The Father's going to be the one judging you. Excuse me. We're all going to stand in front of judgment. And I don't want to be judged for not telling you that you did wrong. I mean, because now if I don't tell you that you're doing wrong, your blood is on my hands. And I don't want your blood on my hands. I'm going to tell you that you're doing wrong. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. But I'm going to tell you, just like we was talking about blasphemy, you know, you was ignorant before, but now you know. So now, you know, it's on you. At least if you tell these people, you can't, right now, you can't even talk about being a Republican or a Democrat anymore, you know, let alone telling somebody that, you know, being a homosexual is bad. Oh, no, you can't call somebody a homosexual anymore. You can't tell them that it's wrong for doing those things. You know, a man's supposed to be with a woman, not a man and a man. You know, it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That whole mess, you got to let them know, okay? You need to go out there and let them know that killing babies is wrong. Of course, they wouldn't be having to go out there and have to kill babies if they wasn't doing adultery in the first place. You know, it's a great big circle there. You know, we've gone away. Whenever I was growing up, which wasn't that very long ago, I mean, some people think I'm really old, but in the grand scheme of things, whenever I was growing up, you know, there was war going on, and there was all kinds of, I grew up in the 60s, so we had the Vietnam War, the hippie thing, the whole mess, which was bad, but you didn't see none of this crap. You didn't see all the homosexuals, and yes, I know there was homosexuals then, but it wasn't like it is now. It's running rampant now. It is. It's running rampant. You give somebody an inch, they're going to take a mile. You didn't see 60 million babies dead because of promiscuity. You didn't see that. It was unheard of. You didn't see women walking around in clothes that leaves absolutely zero to the imagination. I mean, nothing to the imagination. And then, and I'm not defending by no means, but then they get offended when some other man looks at them. I mean, I don't understand it. And I'm not saying that the man looking at her was correct, because I just said that was incorrect. I'm not saying that, but you know what I'm saying? You don't go out there and dangle a pork chop in front of a feeding dog or a hungry dog. You just don't do it. He's going to try to go after it, you know? And we all know that there's some bad people out there that don't have the morals and scruples that we're supposed to have, and they're going to look. Some of them's going to say something, and there's even the few out there that's going to do something, okay? You just don't do it. So, let's see. All right, so let's get back to where we was at. And John back here, I went off on a little bit of a tirade there. So we know, and let me say something about John, the book of John real quick, because like I was saying, I wanted to do the milk and then move forward from that. The book of John, and you've heard many people say that it's kind of different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That is very true, because Matthew was written to the Jews. Mark and Luke, well, actually, specifically Luke, was written to the Gentiles. And Mark is kind of an in-between between the two. John is the only one of the four that was written to believers. It was written to Christians. And you take that, you have to take that knowledge, in fact, because the other ones are teaching you, are giving you information about Christ to bring you in to be a believer. John is written to a believer, so you already have a basic understanding of who Christ already was whenever you start reading John. So with that being said, that's why John takes on a whole different persona than the other ones. That's why the book of John has different things in it than the other ones do. It shows different miracles that Christ did than the other ones do. It talks about a whole different aspect of Christ. It puts him more forefront of being God than the other ones do. And that's the reason, because he's actually talking to believers themselves, you and I. Okay. But we know now that you have God the Father. You know that you have God the Son, which John refers to as the Word, and that Christ, God the Son, was there at the beginning, not the beginning of God, because there is no beginning of God. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, always has been, always will be. And something else that just brought up to my mind, I've heard some of these apostate preachers also talking about the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. It's the same God. There's no difference. He was the same in the beginning as he is in the end. Well, they said, no, God in the Old Testament killed people. Well, he's going to kill quite a few people here not too long from now. So you got to... Everything in the Old Testament, I shouldn't say everything, but the Old Testament is a foreshadow of things to come. The Bible is written in progressive revelation, so you can take a story from the Old Testament and you can see a parallel in the New Testament for everything. Some of them hadn't happened yet, you know, like a parallel of Noah's flood. That's in Revelation. You know, you got a parallel of Sodom and Gomorrah. That again is in Revelation. It's talking about how things are going to end. Sodom and Gomorrah ended in fire. Well, how is the earth going? It's going to end in fire. Only a few people got out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Only a few people got out of the flood. That's what they're talking about. There's only going to be a few of us that's going to get out in the grand scheme of things at the end of the time. That's everything. Everything in the Old Testament is paralleled into the New. And to be honest with you, I don't think even these great theologians out there hadn't figured out all the parallels that there truly are. And there's many, many. I've found so many that's just crying shame. It just stuns me. It blows my mind. Now, you can read something from Genesis and correlate it to today. And you can read something from Genesis and correlate it to other books in the Bible. And in fact, and a lot of times, if you pay attention, you'll see some of the exact same words. I mean, they're literally using the same words. So the Bible, and I've heard this said too, that the Bible is just a book of fairy tales. I can't count how many times I've heard that. Trust me, this is not a fairy tale. This is the almighty word of God. It's coming from God. And you need to heed to it, or you're going to find out that in the end, your little fairy dress is going to get singed in the lake of fire. Okay? And that's not what anybody wants. God don't want that for you. I don't want that for you. Nobody else wants that for you. But you have to open that door up first. And you hear that knock. He's only going to knock so many times. You know, and if you deny him, he may come back. No guarantee that he will. Knock on that door. You open the door up. That's the first step. You got to open the door. You got to receive him. Because he says he's faithful. If you open the door, he will come in and sup with you. Okay. And I better stop there because I'll get off on another tirade here before long, and I don't want to do that because then it'll be 1 or 2 o'clock before we get out of here. Again, just pay attention to what your Bible says. Read it for yourself. Don't listen to all these people out there. And I encourage you, everything that I say is found in Scripture. I didn't necessarily read Scripture whenever I was talking to you, but everything I said to you is found in Scripture. I know everything that the pastor says to you is found in Scripture. Okay? I kind of went off on a tangent today. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't turn anybody away that's listening for the first time. But the fact of the matter is, you need to read your Bible. Read it as it what it says. Pray before you do. You'll understand what's going on. And if what you see, read, understand, and the Spirit guides you through is contrary to what everybody else is saying, go with what you see, read, and understand. And then if you've got some issues about it, then you can come to your local pastor, come to, you know, Pastor Tony, or come to me, or anybody else that's somewhat knowledgeable in the Bible, and they can sit down and you can figure it out. Because sometimes you will get something that's off the wall and you can find it in someplace else that will explain it a little bit better and you get a better understanding or a better grasp of what you got. Okay? That is the purpose of a pastor anyway, is to help you understand, to guide you through the Bible. A lot of people think that a pastor's job is to save you. That's not true. You have to be the one to open the door. Only you can save you. I'm responsible for my life. You're responsible for yours. It's our job as pastors and deacons and whatnot to help you, to guide you through the book, to guide you through the word, and to make sure that you're on the right path, to help you whenever you do run into times of need or times of chaos or crisis, and you need somebody to talk to or to guide you. That's the purpose of a pastor. It's not to save you. Only you can save you, you and God. That's something that's between each one of us, okay? With that being said, I'm going to close, turn it back over to the pastor. And again, I hope everybody has a very blessed day, and I hope that God will be with you. Godspeed. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Dennis, for sharing with us what God has laid on your heart. We've got a couple of announcements I want to make before we close out. You know, the Lighthouse Church here on Shoemake Road, this church had been closed for quite a while until I opened it up just a few months back. We're just now trying to get it built. We do have an ad in the paper now. We have passed out some handbills to those in this area around about us. But to share a few things with you so that you can understand what we really are. This church is a Bible teaching church. They can all tell you I teach book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. Once in a while, God will lead me off in another direction, but not often. But we are living into the last days of time, and we're well into them. Now, no man knows, and as Brother Dennis was stating earlier about listening to some of the pastors on TV, I do the same thing, because we need to know what is going on around us, and there's a lot of things going on that shouldn't be. Now, God had worked on me for the last couple of days, giving me the message that I will be sharing with you, God willing, at 6 p.m. Eastern time this evening. Our meeting times here at the Lighthouse Team Church, Sunday morning at 11 a.m., Sunday evening at 6 p.m., Thursday evening at 6 p.m. All times are Eastern time. We'd love to have you. Everyone is welcome to come visit with us, see what we're all about. As I tell those that I meet that know me, come and see what the old man's up to and what he's about. You'll find that I live what I teach. I don't teach one thing and live something else. And I do know that God's word is truth. You can take his word to the bank. He'll do exactly what he says he'll do. He expects you and I to live by his word. And tonight we're going to be getting in to the subject of God and the church, unless the good Lord changes it. Sometimes he does that too. So we can never really state and say, well, this is what it will be. We have to say, this is what it will be, God willing. Because sometimes he'll be dealing with me about a message, and I'll be thinking on my way to church, well, you know, this is what I'm going to be speaking about. And about halfway here, he changes it on me. And he'll use that somewhere else down the road. But he always is there with us. I do invite anyone that wonders about us, come and check us out. Come and see and help us to work to build this church back in this area and to get the people back in. This church had had some rough treatment. And when church goes through rough treatment and then closed for over a year, it's hard to build them back. We need everyone that we can get. And yes, this message this morning went everywhere the internet goes, because the Lord led me into an internet ministry a long time ago. And we speak to thousands around the world. We work with other ministers in other countries. So, as I said, once again, you are invited. Come and visit with us. See what we're about. And help us to praise the Lord. God willing, we can all be together again this evening at 6 p.m. to see what God has for us then. So now, let us close with prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share your word and to be a support one to the other. To work, Father, to have our fruits become good fruits. Fruits that are pleasing unto you. Let all of our actions, our speech, and all be according to your will and your way. We ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives to lead us and to speak to us, to let us know, Father, what you want of each one of us. And we know that we are given the tools to fulfill whatever work you will call upon us to do. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them right now, Father. They are having a lot of troubles, a lot of tribulations. And Father, we ask that not only for peace for them, but also that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah, as their Savior, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has turned its back and walked so far away without any excuse whatsoever, Father. We ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit will work with us to help us to take out of office those that are against the church, that are against the Lord Jesus, and against your people. And help us to replace them with those that will stand in support of the church, in support of Jesus, helping us to put him back into all the places he has been taken out of, and to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being upon your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to see to their needs, whatever those needs may be, whether they be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's friend Sue and Sue's family in Texas, Amy's husband Tom and his friend Dennis, and Dennis's family in Oklahoma, for Amy and Tom's young son Jacob. This youngster, Father, use him in great and mighty ways among the young people there in Texas. For Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg. Father, these all are men that come from different walks of life. But Father, when they come together, bring them together in one mind, in one accord, and that being in Christ. Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. These pastors, Father, I pray that they're walking close with the Lord Jesus Christ, close to be filled, to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, so that they can hold these churches along that pathway of righteousness and take them to where you want them to go. For this young man that's been ordained into the ministry, Will, Father, I pray that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit, and that he is the pastor you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what the need is there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost, walking in darkness, can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my young friend, Father, there in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Father, keep him safe, keep him in health, and see to his needs. And also, Father, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, these, keep them safe, keep them in health, and take care of whatever need they have. Because we know, Father, that all three of these pastors walk in places to where at times if they're caught will mean imprisonment and death. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, my family, Father, and for each family that will hear this message, we pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will work among these families and work with those, Father, that are walking in darkness. Work with them to lead them out of darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all can find their way to heaven. Now, Father, Jimmy Emery, baby Jalee, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue, for Palance, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, and Father, for Henry Craycroft. These all stand in need of the healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, touch them in a mighty and great way. Bring about the healing that is needed. But most of all, Father, we pray that one day they all will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, so that they too, Father, will be able to make heaven their home. This church, Father, it's yours. It's not mine. You set me here as an overseer. Now, Father, help us to build this church to be what you want it to be. Make me, Father, the overseer you want me to be. Use me in mighty and great ways, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in that sweet, precious name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. And God bless. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. And may we see you again this evening at 6 p.m., God willing. So until then, have a good day. Bye-bye now.